Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does the familiar symbol of the cross suggest to you? In the days of our Lord Jesus, it suggested death, a horrible, ugly death of suffering and shame. It seems today that many churches are making a mistake by trying to make Christianity popular and pleasant. Many have taken away the cross and have substituted instead the comfort of cushioned pews. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you not only for the cross, but for the one who died there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for that precious blood, Father, that he poured out in our behalf. We read, Father, that without the shedding of blood there is no remission, no forgiveness, no salvation. And we bless thee, Father, that on that cross of which reference has been made, there was one who died there, one who had been God from an eternity past, one who shall never cease to be God, and yet God manifested in the flesh, that he might put away sin, ours, Heavenly Father, by the sacrifice of himself. Father, it's in his name, it's through his merit that we approach thee this morning, praising you for what he did, for what he is doing now at your right hand, for what he shall do when he comes to claim his own and to take his church from this sin-cursed world, that we might ever be worshiping at his feet, praising and adoring his blessed name. Till that time come, Father, may we who are Christians be found faithful, and our God, may those listening today out of Christ realize that it's Christ or chaos. It's being born again or being lost forever. And may there be some who will receive the Savior as a result of the gospel going forth over this broadcast today. For it's in the name of the Lamb of God, the Lord of glory, the Christ of the cross, your Son and our Savior, that we ask it all with thanksgiving. Amen. In our previous broadcast, we gave consideration to what the Apostle Paul wrote to Ephesian believers in the 5th chapter and the 25th verse. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We concluded that Christ did not die or give himself for a building of stone, steel, and timber, regardless of its architectural grandeur or its eye-appealing attractiveness. Neither did he die for any or all of the religious organizations, systems, and movements among Christendom or practicing churchianity today. Rather, we saw that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church for which he gave himself, is a called-out company, a gathering, or an assembly of born-again believers or Christians. In other words, he died for the souls of lost men, that through his death there might be a called-out gathering, a church which is his own. We previously mentioned that neither the church building on the corner, the religious system or organization, nor even religion itself, died for our sins. But it was Christ, the eternal, omnipotent Son of the living God, the one who knew no sin, and yet he became sin, mine and yours, that we might experience redemption, that, praise God, we might have salvation, and that he might have, through this death, a true church, a church for which he gave himself because of his love. Previously, too, we mentioned that there are a number of prominent similes in the Bible, in the New Testament, concerning the church which he loved and gave himself for. The first one that we mentioned last week was from John 10 and 16. It's the flock. The flock is the church. The flock is made up of those Christians, those who have been saved by the grace of God. And we are under the care of the Good Shepherd. He provides for us. He watches over us. He protects us. and we, being his children, the sheep of his flock, hear his voice and follow him. And then from 1 Corinthians 3:9, we saw that we are also referred to as God's husbandry, God's garden plot. We are to bear fruit for his glory. We read from Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. This is the fruit that we are to bear. Just like fruit at a fair that wins a blue ribbon, we are to be blue ribbon fruit for his glory. Pardon. We also read that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So we too are to be fruitful in that we can be used of God to bring to Jesus Christ others who are lost. But we must hurry on. From 1 Corinthians 3:9, we also read of God's building. We who are saved, we who have been redeemed by precious blood, are called living stones in the building of God. Oh, the joy of being in his body, in his building, in his church. A living stone, not a dead, cold stone, but one that's alive. And the life that we have, Paul tells us, is the life of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. The one who lives in and through us. Oh, so many people tell me, well, I'm afraid to become a Christian because I can't live a Christian life. And how true it is. No one listening to my voice, nor the speaker himself, can live a Christian life in our own strength. It's only through the strength and power of the Lord Jesus, the one who indwells these temples, the one who inhabits these buildings, the one who lives within these bodies of ours, these living stones. He gives us the power. And as we turn our bodies, our lives over to him, he empowers us or lives through us for his eternal praise and glory. But then there is another picture in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Another simile concerning the church which he loved and gave himself for. We read there, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Now, the word temple immediately suggests to us the thought of worship. And it reminds us that the only worship God gets today is from those who are members of his church. Not members of some organization or denomination or system, but members of that body of Christ, members of that building, living stones in that building, members of his garden plot, sheep within the flock over which he, the good shepherd, cares and watches. We read in the 4th chapter of John, that the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking worshipers, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. While we were in India, we saw people who were worshiping all forms and every conceivable thing you can imagine. We saw them worshiping images of tigers and snakes. We saw them worshiping all manner of shrines. While we were in Bangkok, we saw the reclining Buddha, 150 feet long, over 40 feet high, even laying down. And we saw young girls coming, bowing before this shrine, offering up incense and prayers. Oh, beloved, people today are worshiping things. In this country, these things are money, televisions, homes, automobiles, popularity, prominence, power, as with a politician and others. But friend, today the Lord Jesus Christ wants your worship. He deserves your worship. He desires your worship. And friend of mine, he'll either get it today or he'll get it in a coming day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess him. It'll be too late then for salvation. Today he offers you salvation. He offers you the gift of eternal life. He said, "Yes, I'll place you into my flock. I'll let you produce fruit in my garden. I'll make you a living stone in my building. And that body of yours I will come by the Holy Spirit and inhabit it. And it can be that which will bring worship and praise and honor to my name." We also read from Ephesians chapter 1 about another picture of the church of Jesus Christ. From Ephesians chapter 1, I want to read verses 22 and 23. "And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body is the vehicle by which a person expresses himself. It is through my body, through the use of my mouth and my mind, that I am conveying to you this morning the message from the Word of God. And we convey to one another our thoughts and our expressions and our emotions through the body. and thus the body of Jesus Christ, is a unit through which the Lord Jesus chooses to express himself to the world today. Isn't that a thrilling thought? That we who are saved by the grace of God and have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, we are members of his body. Praise God. And through this body, through this vehicle, his body, he wants to convey to a lost, dying, godless, hopeless world his love for lost men. Once this great truth is grasped, a believer will never again be the same. He'll never think of the church as of minor importance, as a dead institution, as something that just sits on a corner or some big system that sits downtown in office buildings. But he will devote himself unreservedly to the best interest of the body of Christ. Oh, friend of mine, you who are Christians, God wants to use you as the vehicle for conveying his love to lost, perishing, hell-bound sinners all about us. And you who are without God, without Christ, and without hope, won't you come to Christ? Receive him today. Be born again by the Spirit of God. And praise God, he has for you the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus. Will you receive it? For his name's sake.